Thank you, preacher. Thank you. And thank you, guys. I can't believe anybody's here. I guess if you're pastors, do you kind of have to be at this one? Because after he got done with Glenn Matthews, I thought, man, I want to go to his. Glenn Matthews. How many of you noticed, and I'm familiar, my area where I pastor, Glenn Matthews is well-known and respected and all those things. I just didn't, not gotten to ever spend a lot of time with him and got to talk to him today, but 69 years, and you get a plaque, and did you see the tears? Is that not what you want to be like? That's what I want to be like. I want to be so humble like that, that, you know, just that to be recognized for anything you feel unworthy, goodness gracious. And I'm going to tell you nothing else. Us preachers, all we needed to do was see that today. And if we took note, and I don't want to grow into being one of these cranky, bitter against everybody, right, and everything about, you know, man, just the grace of God, and boy, that just meant a lot to me. And I think that you got your hand out. I hope that you did. And I just want to give you a couple things real quick. You know, what I have found a lot of times in pastors' meetings, if you're like me, I don't necessarily need to be enlightened about what I don't know. I need to be encouraged about what I do know. You know, everybody's going to come up with something new, but I'm still having trouble with the stuff I still understand, that I already understand. And last thing I need is something new. You know, I'm still working on, you know, trying to keep the flesh under control, all those things. And this meeting has been so good. Brother Lynch, I'm telling you, 2022, from here on out, if you have a men's meeting, you're going to have to preach against pornography. Guys, what I'm dealing with in my church and our men, I had an idea. I thought, you know, I need to just do a anonymous survey just so you really know what you're dealing with, but I haven't had the heart to do it because of enough that I know are dealing with it. I don't even know if I want to know how many are. And, you know, we don't talk about it, but we're going to have to start doing something. And because it's so accessible nowadays, and preachers deal with it, struggle with it as much as anyone. And I'll pray for you. You pray for me. How about that? None of us are immune. None of us. And but I appreciate it. Let's talk about Daniel just a little bit. And with being pastors, just a couple things. Nothing that new under the sun, obviously. But I just wanted to my task a little bit, like with our last session and today, I do want to deal with prayer. Obviously, this is a prayer advance, but kind of from the pastor aspect of it. We're not live. This is recorded, so they can certainly edit things. But let me just mention why Dr. Gibbs, and tomorrow I think Brother Stoney and I get to do a little bit of, you know, either some question and answer or just some quick testimony. But I had a man in my church that helped restore that went crazy. And diagnosed schizophrenic, bipolar, three or four other things within a matter of a week. And just determined that he was coming after me. And never seen the likes of it. And this man he was a politician, ran for a Senate, ran for Congress. You know, I don't know, Brother Harold certainly knows him and different things. And what we went through legally, I mean, this man just started with small, and then it was, I'm molesting kids, and I'm stealing money, and I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm 40 grand in legal fees now. Still haven't done a thing. I don't know. And he's in jail. Sitting in jail. He's had so many charges against him now. He's got caught stealing. Here's a man high up in society, stealing catalytic converters down at the beach. And but this man had 90,000 Facebook followers, and 90,000 people heard Daniel Hotry was molesting girls, and Daniel Hotry stealing money, and blah, blah, blah. And I had pastors from California calling me, Brother Daniel, please tell me this isn't true. I'm like, brother, it's not. But at first time in my life, I had a situation where there wasn't anything I can do about it. If you get up and defend yourself, you just get, it looks as if you're trying to put a side versus a side. And this man I knew was going to contact every family in my church, and he did. And it was a situation where there's nothing I could do. Everybody in our town knew him, knows him. And I just have to, and it's still going on. He's sitting in jail, from what I understand. He's going to get revenge. The whole world's to blame for what he's going through. And he's lost his wife, his daughter, all these things, and just horrible, horrible things. And somehow it's Daniel Hotry's fault. To this day, we don't know. And so who knows? So Dr. Gibbs, we've been on pretty personal terms. For about 2 months there, it was about every day on the phone and this and that and all these things. And so God gave me this passage anew for kind of this. And as pastors, whatever you might go through, I'm going to give you some things. Please make sure you got your bylaws, your constitution, everything the way it should be. And make it a priority. If you haven't done it for a couple of years, can I tell you something? You're already in trouble. Already in trouble. Every year you've got to review your bylaws, make sure legally you're covered in different things. It's been an eye-opening experience for us. Make sure you get a hold of your constitution, get a hold of your bylaws, get a hold of your doctrinal statement. Nowadays, legally, you better be organized in those areas. Gone are the days, well, God will take care of it. Well, God's sent me here to tell you, you need to take care of some of it. Because I'm going to tell you something, you can get up a creek without a paddle quick nowadays legally. And so I encourage you to do that. But look at, if you would, Daniel chapter 6. And if you'll turn there in just some moments of your time, Daniel chapter 6. In verse 1, it said, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So here we have a hierarchy of authority. Makes sense all the way back to Moses and his father-in-law and all those things. You know what? We got to divide some responsibility, and this group answers to this person. This person then, you know, it just makes sense. Verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. And that's where God began to give it to me a little bit, this passage. There's always going to be, eventually, some people that are going to try to find occasion against you, which reminds me that I've got to be careful about every occasion in my life, because the devil empowers people. They will find that one area, that one time you blew it. And so Satan is plotting against the church right now. And I'm going to tell you what I believe. Everybody's been preaching against homosexuality and all these things. Let me tell you something. Mental illness is what's coming after the church. I'm going to tell you, in 10 years' time, almost every one of you that are pastors, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have people suing you. People go crazy, and they're going to spread false stuff about you, because people are going nuts nowadays. I'm just telling you. They're strung out on prescription medication, and these things, you're going to have some occasions against you. Notice here in verse 4, find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Let me just say, I'm not that good. Daniel is at a level that I'm not. But look at verse 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto them, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, princes, and you know the story. Now, verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. We all know what's going on here. I'm not going to act as if you don't. Hopefully you're up to, you know this story. But look at verse 10. That phrase, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber towards Jerusalem, notice this, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed. And so that first phrase of verse 10, when Daniel knew, Daniel prayed. When Daniel knew, found out what was going on, Daniel prayed. Verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. You know, in verse 2, we find Daniel was made a president. Verse 3, we find that Daniel was preferred. And then verse 4 begins, Daniel was plotted against. So I want you to notice, number 1, under your sheet, just I want to give you a couple things. Number 1, I want you to see here, and I would ask you this question, what do you do in those moments when you find out? And may I say this, the only thing worse than worrying about what could happen is finding out the worst possible thing did happen. And the worst possible thing is that they could make this decree that if you pray to your God, you're going to be thrown to the lion's den. And Daniel knew what was going on before this. We knew that what they were trying to do, and Daniel prayed about it. And guess what? The decree was still signed. It still went through. So now the only thing worse than worrying about what could happen is when the worst thing does happen. And what happens, your and I reaction to that, when that happens, that begins to expose our faith and it exposes our fear. Okay. So notice number one, Daniel did not panic. Daniel did not panic. Look at verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he pulled his hair out and went berserk. What I find wonderful, and God had to give this to me, because I'm going to tell you, there was just some things you'll never fully understand what I've been through. And if you were up here, I probably fully wouldn't understand what you've been through. I'll hear a story, I'm like, yeah, that must have been hard. But nobody's going to know how hard the things you've been through are except you. But I will tell you this, what I found in this passage, God really helped guide me in this, not to panic. It doesn't say that when Daniel knew, he began to freak out. It doesn't say when Daniel knew, he got all worried and couldn't eat and, you know, didn't want to go to church anymore and all these things and withdrew himself from people. And we pastors sometimes, by the way, when things get on us, it's very tempting to kind of withdraw from people. It doesn't say that. What did Daniel do? When he knew, he prayed. When he knew, he prayed. Now, I would say, and what I ask myself as a pastor, what's my first reaction normally? And I don't know that always my first reaction is to pray. Sometimes it's to call a preacher buddy and complain with him. Like, can you believe this happened to me? Can you believe they're doing that? Can you believe this guy in my church? Whatever. And when Daniel knew, Daniel prayed. He did not panic. And I want to encourage you, don't panic. Number two, I want you to notice this. Daniel kept his objections private. Now, this was a very unfair thing. They were looking for an occasion. They couldn't find it. So they created an occasion simply because he was doing what was right. And they're scheming and conniving and all these things. And it actually worked. It actually worked. And I don't know about you, that's very tempting to just, God, why would you allow this? And God, this isn't fair. And all these things. You don't find anywhere where Daniel let everybody know, went to anybody, complained about it, played the victim. You don't find any of that. He didn't panic and he kept his objections private. Where did Daniel go? He didn't go to anybody. He went to his prayer closet. And may I say this? Listen, we need good fellowship. I don't know what I'd have done this, you know, and some of these things even this past year and before without good godly influences. I'm going to tell you, my wife and I were going somewhere one day and it would just come in waves, this guy. New accusations. And he'd put on Facebook, I got signed affidavit from five women that Daniel molested them when they were 8 years old and all this. He had no affidavits. He had no whatever. But 90,000 people are getting this every day. And I was in the car and I said, I just don't know. And my phone rang and, you know, we had it in the car where the phone comes through the speakers. So I pushed the answer, you know, and it was Brother Harold. And I said, bro, I just want to pray with you today. I said, okay. And I said, it was just one of those times. All I could do was cry. I couldn't even say thank you for praying. I just cried because you're just broken. And it is so hard for us sometimes. We want to get that objection out. We want to kind of fight back. We want to, whatever the case might be. And may I say, this is the kind of thing that really fights against your prayer life. Because when you've been done wrong and you want to get all this out, the last thing you're going to want to do is pray. But Daniel knew the first thing I've got to do. If prayer is not the first thing you do in something like this, it probably won't be done. If prayer isn't the first thing you do, it's probably not going to be done. Because you're going to be so strung out trying to fix it yourself and defend yourself and all these things. Praying's probably will never even, it'll never really get to there. Because now you're so busy trying to get everybody on the phone and trying, you know. So if prayer's not done first, it probably won't get done at all. So what did Daniel do? Which brings us to number three, Daniel prayed. Daniel prayed. Verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. He didn't object. He didn't go to anybody. He went to his house. Notice this. And his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. Daniel knelt, showing respect, submission, humility. You all know that. Daniel prayed three times a day to show total dependence and desperation. You all know that. Daniel did not open the windows, by the way, so that people could see him. He opened the windows so that he could see God. And he opened the windows so that God could see him. You know, the whole window thing being opened isn't the fact that he wanted everybody to see what he was doing. Listen, he was going to be killed for what for doing that. But Daniel still opened those windows. And of course, I saw, I think, the book you had in here, wonderful book, Open Windows. The whole principle of prayer, the thing of Daniel opening the windows means he was opening his life, opening his heart, totally exposed before God. And you know what you and I need to do? Sometimes we need to shut the doors and open the windows. Instead of going to everyone, shut the mouth, open the window. And Daniel didn't go anybody. He didn't go complain. He didn't this. He didn't get. He went to his house, opened his windows. What is that a sign of? I'm not going to anyone. I'm going to God. And as I go to God, it's totally exposed. So God can see everything. There's nothing withholding from God. And so as you notice, as he prayed, open windows was a sign of an open heart. There was nothing hidden. There was nothing held back. There was nothing withheld. Prayer, and listen to this, and I just want you to get this. Prayer is about closing the door and opening the windows. Closing the door and opening the windows. Quit getting so busy trying to fix your problems. Close the door, open the windows. I don't know about you. That's good advice. Just good advice. Let's be honest. Most of the people we talk to can't do anything about it anyway. Notice number four, Daniel praised. Verse 10. It says, he opened the windows of his chamber towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Not a lot to really thank for, we would think. Boy, their plan worked. Decrees being passed. But he still had a lot to praise God for. You know, I found in my life, if all you do is focus on the problem, you're going to forget the things you have to praise God for. And so there's got to be a discipline, God, whether that's foremost on my mind right now, it needs to be. So I'm just going to start praising. He gave thanks before his God. And I want to encourage, you know, you preachers, and of course, whoever's in here and things, I think that first reaction to pray and then to praise. Pray and then to praise. Let's start thanking God for what God's done. And notice number five, I want you to see this. More we could say into that, but for sake of time, look at verse 10 and 11. Daniel created a pattern. You know, problems oftentimes make us adjust, get out of our normal disciplines. Now I'm so consumed with my problem. But notice in verse 10, at the very end, it says, as he did aforetime. He prayed three times a day, opened that windows to heaven. He prayed three times a day, as he did aforetime. Verse 11, these men assembled. They found Daniel praying and making supplication. They knew where he would be because that's what he had always done. And I heard a preacher years ago, and he said, the best thing you can do when a trial hits your life is just keep doing what you do every day. Don't get out of a routine. Don't all of a sudden stop, well, I better start doing this. Well, hey, I better. No, just, you know, pray when you always pray. Read when you always, just keep with that routine. That's what Jesus did. Remember, you know, where he, as oft times as he did, you know, he went to the garden. He had a prayer place, all those things. Daniel created a pattern. They found Daniel praying. And here's what I found when I was struggling in my life. Now that this trial has come, what are people finding me doing? Is it every time they see me, they know they're going to have to get a whole earload about what this guy's doing? And by the way, I'm going to tell you something, guys. As traumatizing as it is to you, people get tired of hearing it. And I knew that. And I was just determined, I just can't. You know, it's almost like people, they want to avoid you because if they come around you, they feel like they got to ask, preacher, you okay? How you doing with this? They're tired of hearing it too. I'm tired of going through it. They're tired of hearing about it. So you know what? You're just going to have to determine right now. God's the one I'm going to have to talk to about this. And when it comes to people, hey, we just got to go on to better things. We just got, you know, and Daniel, I think that praise helped him with that. Daniel created a pattern. He stuck to it. And I found in my life sometimes I was like, you know, if I'm not careful, I'm going to talk, because this is big on me. That's all they're ever going to hear about. And I didn't want my wife to get tired about it. And she was part of what this guy's attacking and all this stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. She was tired of hearing about it. I was tired of going through it. We're both tired of going through it. And at some point, you just got to put your big boy britches on and say, God, this is a battle that we don't even have a way to fight it. So what are you going to do? Keep to the pattern. I'm going to keep studying. I'm going to keep preaching Sunday morning. I'm going to keep preaching Sunday night. I'm going to keep preaching Wednesday night. We're still going to keep doing. We're going to do our outreach. We're going to do our evangelism. And I'm going to make sure I spend time with my wife. I got three boys that don't need to hear this at the dinner table every night. I got three boys that need to hear how good God is at the dinner table every night. How many of you know that, hey, God, some good guys go through bad things and their family is ruined for life with church? Because that's all mom and dad brought about, talked about at the dinner table and all those things. My mom and dad never did that. I mean, never did that. And by the way, I grew up that if me and the teacher at a school had a problem, they took the teacher's side. Yeah, but mom, you don't understand. We don't have to understand. You know, that's authority. And so it just nipped a lot of stuff in the bud. Notice, if you would, number seven, Daniel kept his heart pure. And this is what's so difficult through stuff like this. Look at verse 21. And obviously there's more in between it, but you've preached on this, you know. Look at verse 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Notice this. My God hath sent his angel. This, obviously, Daniel's thrown into the, you know all that. God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocency, that's a pure motive, pure heart, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. What does he mean? King, I never crossed you, and I, you know, my heart was pure in this whole thing. God came and God worked a miracle because God saw that I had kept myself right. So God was free to bless. God was free to work a miracle on my behalf. What would have happened if Daniel would have, if we go all the way back to verse 10, when Daniel knew, then Daniel went and criticized the king for being so dumb to allow them to fool him. Well, then he would have been wrong with the king. Then he would have now criticized the king. And by the time you and I, half the time, we've criticized so much that we're now, even though it was wrong what was done to us, we've handled it wrong, and now we're wrong. And you and I as pastors, listen, we gotta get up and preach. We gotta feed the church of God. So we gotta realize that even when something's wrong is done, we gotta keep ourselves right, or it's gonna be wrong, it's gonna create wrong things in our life. And Daniel said, hey, listen, God took care of this, and Daniel knew that he would. He says, but let me tell you why. Because God saw that my heart was right in this. And king, my heart was even right towards you. Even though you kind of did this, it was right towards you. And that shows me, listen, Daniel never took it personal. He never got mad at those other princes. He never got mad at the king. And he didn't get mad at God. He's sitting right there and he said, hey, God shut their mouths. What? Listen, and this is what I wrote down. Take it for what it's worth. God shut the lion's mouths because Daniel shut his. I thought it was interesting. God, there's innocency before God and before you, O king. Daniel didn't get hold it. He didn't get a grudge. He didn't just, you know, kind of get a snarly attitude, whatever. He just considered it all part of what God has allowed. And because of that attitude, just like Joseph, when his brothers did what he... Because of that attitude, God could work a miracle and bless this thing. Let me just tell you one thing about just a little bit, and I'm still in the middle of whatever. And I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. Listen, God's been good, whatever. Through, but that's why Dr. Gibbs is like, you need to go to Disney World. It was a rough time for a long time. And in the middle of all this, we had a huge tent meeting. The day, like 4 days before our big, huge tent meeting started, this guy started all this mess and all this stuff. You know, man, I got, you know, whatever, like people come to the tent and I'm thinking, I wonder what they've heard, you know, kind of a thing. And all those different things. But what I found interesting about this, listen, because of the legal issues with work Dr. Gibbs and them, you have to get local lawyers too. And we have a local lawyer, a young man who was associated with our church years ago, his parents, whatever. And he's been a lawyer. And so we had to meet a number of times going over stuff. And going through, you know, money, everything, just all these questions legally. And so finally, after about the fifth meeting over a couple of weeks, he asked me, he said, what time are your services on Sunday morning? So I told him. And next Sunday morning, he was there at church. Church service got done. We dismissed. People walking out. He comes, hits the altar. My lawyer. I kneel down there with my lawyer. And he comes up and he says, this is where I'm supposed to be. I got to get my life right. I got to get my heart right. Friday, he was at my office. He said, my marriage is falling apart. Can I get some help? And I'm giving this guy books. And I'm thinking, this would kill this other guy to know that my own lawyer started coming to church because of all this. I mean, that what I'm saying is just a little thing that God's just a little bit of the way, just say, I got this. It's okay. It's okay. You just keep yourself right. It's hard, but keep yourself right. You know, Daniel didn't stop the lion's mouths, and none of his friends could have stopped the lion's mouths. Only God could do that. So it doesn't make sense to go get bitter against everyone else or run your mouth to everyone else. God has to take care of it anyway, so just go talk to God about it. So that's why he opened the windows. Notice here in verse 23, and it would be number 8 on your thing, but Daniel submitted to God's plan. That's an obvious one, but he kept his heart pure, but he submitted to God's plan. Verse 23, it says, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up and no matter of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. He just submitted to God's plan. This was all part of a plan that God had. And then, of course, I know you know where we're going with this last one. Number 9, Daniel prospered. In verse 28, so Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. I was listening years ago. I got an old tape by a man. I don't know if you ever heard of this preacher named Harry Ironside. Any of y'all ever heard of Harry Ironside? And I've got a whole bunch of old tapes. I've got vinyl albums. Brother Ron Lynch was talking about Bill Stafford. I got 6 vinyl sermon albums by Bill Stafford. And I don't know how I came up with them over the years. I love vinyl records. I was into them before they were cool again. Now they're back in. And I'll sell you something if you want to talk. But anyway, but I was reading this, Dr. Ironside. I was listening to his cassette tape. And in his early days, he was at, obviously, Dallas Theological Seminary. And he said, in those days, he said, we had a critical need one time for $10,000. He said, or we were going to have to close down Dallas Theological Seminary. And he said, we never told the students. He said, we met with the board. And in the message, he was saying, we really had no options. He said, so I told the men, he said, let's leave. I want you to go home. I want you to come back tonight, 7 o'clock. I want you to come ready to pray. And they got together and he said, men, listen. And he said a couple things that I want us to pray through the night for God to meet this need. And he told the men before they prayed, he said, you know, he said, God owns it all. And he said, I want to pray with you guys. And then I want us to go into our private places. I want us to pray through the night. And he prayed and he said, Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of those cattle to meet our need. And they all went to praying. And 3 days later, they had a check, showed up in those days. You didn't have cell phones and everything else. But this check showed up, and the check was for exactly $10,000, which means it had been sent a day before they had even prayed. You know, it doesn't come in the mail where this man was across the country that sent it. He was a cattle farmer. Cattle farmer in Texas. And the man sent the $10,000 check and he simply had a note on it and said, this money is a portion of a sale that I had from some of my cattle that I sold. Ironside had said, God, would you sell some of those cattle and pay the bill? And God sure did. Paid the bill because he sold some of the cattle. Daniel prospered. You know, I don't know about you, but I would rather just be able to go right to the prospering without having to go through all the, and it wouldn't we all? And I'm unworthy to get up here. Most of you guys know way more than I do. But I'm just saying this, when it comes to our prayer life, if we can do that first. And may I say this lovingly, and I talk with my wife, you talk, but I mean even before the wife, sometimes, just God, just let's just go, when Daniel knew, Daniel prayed. When Daniel knew, Daniel prayed. What do you do when you find out? What do you do when you find out? What do I do when I find out? And we just got to do that first and foremost. I think you understand. And I love you in the Lord. Hope you get a good afternoon. I'm excited to hear Brother Ron tonight just to be convicted again. Goodness gracious. What in the world? Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Thank you for these men. Thank you for kind of being what brings us all together. We have a bond through Christ. And Lord, none of us have figured it out. And none of us really have any earth-shattering thing. We all need help. We all need prayer. We just want to serve you. God, help us keep our hearts from getting cold and hard because of the abuse of people. And Lord, as we get news sometimes of criticism, when we know, let's go pray. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us. You've told us what to do. May we follow it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.